A catechism portion from the Westminster Shorter Catechism is found on page 873, and we will be reading questions 49 to 52. Page 873 in the red hymnals in the back, and question answer 49. What is the second commandment? The second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. What is required in the second commandment? The second commandment requireth the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God has appointed in his word. What is forbidden in the second commandment? The second commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in his word. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and the zeal he hath to his own worship. And then reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 15 to 35. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 to 35. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan. But you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey your voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in the land of Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, if anything establishes beyond doubt the importance of the subject before us this evening, then surely it is, first of all, because out of all the things that God could warn his people, this was one of the ten. God highlighted this truth. Of all the things that he could have highlighted to his people, this one made it. Made it into the top ten, we might say. And therefore it ought to come to us with a certain amount of authority and importance that God wrote with his own hands, with his own finger. He spoke it from the mountain, covered with clouds and fire, and people trembled when God spoke the Ten Commandments to them. Another thing that makes it so important is because of the warnings that are attached to it. And we attach warnings to undermine, to underline to people the importance of what we're saying, just as God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because why? Because you will surely die. Well, that's what he does in this commandment. Don't do these things. Not only in the Ten Commandments, but in Deuteronomy, as I read this evening, God stresses how important this is. But God doesn't take it lightly. Even for thousands of generations, God doesn't let up as far as that is concerned. And on the other hand, the blessings of when we obey God's law, when we obey this command as the other commands, God will love us and to all that follow example, including our children. I mean, so often we don't want to do things that will affect our children in a negative way. We don't want to give them bad examples. Well, here's an example that we don't want to be giving our children. That we want to honor God in the way that he has called us to in terms of worship, so that we might teach our children to reverence God, to take it seriously. And so this command is to be taken seriously. We're not to set it aside as though, what's that got to do with us? We don't do those things. We don't fall into those traps. No, God gave this command to his people. To his people. And therefore, it is something that we need to take seriously. It is something that we need to be careful about. for our sakes and for the sake of our children. And God says, look, when you don't do that, certain consequences are going to follow. You're going to be put out of the land. You're going to be scattered among the nations of the world. Do I make myself clear? I mean, that's what God is saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to bring a divide between you and me. I don't tolerate that. And so you'll be driven from off the land. And of course, there's grace. When they humble themselves before him, then he will receive them back. And so again, the importance of this subject before us is to be taken seriously. We need to ask ourselves, how do I think about the second commandment? How does it affect my life? What changes does it warn? Changes do I have to be careful of? Or is there anything at all that we need to take note of in this commandment? Well, God makes it very clear in this command what it is that he's concerned about. We're not to make images of God. We're not to make images of God. It's clearly forbidden in the scriptures. And there's always the debate, you know, whether, we shouldn't make images of God with the proviso that if it's our intention to worship him through them. But if we don't intend to worship through them, then it's okay. I mean, how ridiculous is that argument? How absolutely ridiculous that argument is. Because what is the point of God saying you're not to make images? Because he doesn't want anything representing him. Nothing can represent him. He is so beyond our comprehension. He's so beyond this creation. He's separate from this creation. And when we take any part of this creation and we assemble it in a way to represent God, it's an insult to him, an absolute insult. And so the scriptures make it very clear and repeat it over and over again that they're not to take anything from this creation because it's going to corrupt them. And so he says, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself the carved image in the form of any figure, in the likeness of man or male or female. So that's excluded. Humankind is excluded. Or in the likeness of an animal that is on earth, or any likeness of any winged bird in the skies, like a likeness of anything that creeps on the ground. We get it, Lord, we get it. No, you don't get it. That's why I'm stressing it. That's why he goes over and over and over again. He covers all of this creation and he's saying there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that can adequately represent me. And therefore, you're not to make any copies. Because they will be falsehoods. They will take our minds off who God is in and of himself. And it will reduce him. Reduce him in ways that we think we can understand him. We can comprehend him. And that is a fatal mistake. A fatal mistake. Our God is beyond comprehension. Not that we can't know him. Obviously, he makes himself known in the scriptures. But there's a certain mystery about him, just like it was on Mount Sinai. There was a cloud around there. They couldn't see him, and he tells them that. He said, you didn't see any form when it was on Sinai, and I gave you the commandments. There was a reason for that. I want you to understand that I'm far beyond your wildest expectations. And I will not be limited by your minds and by your thoughts. No, I am beyond that. And I want you to see me as that. I want you to think about me as that. not in the ways that images do, which is to reduce God, to limit him. And so they were forbidden not to use anything in creation at all. And as I say, he stresses it in such a way that it would stick in our minds. Just to show how zealous God is on this matter. He's saying, your children, to generations to come, this truth will remain. No change will happen. I'm not going to put this down. I'm not going to stop reminding you of that. And I'm not going to stop reacting to it when you fail, when you deliberately fail. I'm going to remind you in a way that you will not forget. Because I will bring upon you the discipline of the covenant so that you go back and you think again what I warned you of and you mend your ways. No, images are an insult to God. God never utilized them in the Old Testament. There were no images in the temple. There was no images in the tabernacle. God could have, but he didn't. He absolutely didn't. Which was unlike all the other religions. They had their idols. They had their images. And remember when the ark was captured by the Philistines? And they put it in. And their idol gods fell down. No, God isn't to be reduced to an idol. And therefore their minds cannot be and should not be distorted. These things that can't move, they can't speak, there's no life in them. What an insult that we would fix our minds and hearts on things that are made of this creation. Now, people of God, when you think about God, it ought to be in the way that God has revealed himself in his word, and not by the imaginations of men that have fashioned idols. We have the world doing that all around us. Let us not follow suit. And so God stresses to them in Jeremiah and in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 18 to 20, that they are senseless objects. And they are falsehoods. They are foolishness. And the church has always stood against them. And for people to say, well, you know, what's wrong with depicting the Lord Jesus Christ as a human because that's what he was? And it is true. He took on human nature. But how does the scriptures describe the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in human form? In Philippians chapter 2. It describes it as this. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. If you want to depict the Son of God in his humblest form, that would be in terms of his incarnation. Is that the way we want to represent God? Is that the way Christ wants us to see him? As a man? No, what an insult. What an insult. Unless you think that that isn't something that we come across every day, then think again. Think again. You go to bookstores and there are all kinds of images there that you can wear around your neck, and churches can have them in their sanctuaries, and pictures reminding us of all the things that happened in the Gospels. You know, it never occurred to God to do that in the temple. I mean, he could have put some pictures of Moses and Egypt and the plagues that came down on Egypt and how God subdued Pharaoh and brought them out with a mighty hand. He could have had other images of their past history, but God didn't do that. He didn't do that. In all the wisdom, God didn't see it fit or advantageous or profitable to do those things. And yet, we find that we go the other way. We like all of that. We're visual people and we want to see those things. And so we put all of those things in. But God wants us to focus on Him, on who He is, and the comfort that He gives to us, and the power, as we were speaking about this morning, the almighty, sovereign God that watches over us and cares for us and is involved in every aspect of our life. He's the one that should thrill us. He's the one that we seek, want to know. And it's a lifetime process of knowing Him, just as the Apostle Paul says, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's what we need to strive for. We can have that foretaste, a wonderful foretaste of God, knowing Him and walking with Him. That's the thing about His disciples. I mean, they had the Lord Jesus Christ in human form right before their eyes. But did that capture everything? No. When He spoke and did things, they were absolutely amazed. They said, "What manner of man is this? We've never seen anyone like this. The winds and the waves obey Him." Never mind that. He raises the dead. Forgives sins. Well, He was beyond what they could see. It's only by faith that they were able to understand in the end who He was, as they declared before Him, "My Lord and my God." That's who they came to see, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And besides, it's not that God doesn't want to reveal Himself to us. He has. In His Word. That's how we come to know God. Yes, we see His handiwork in creation, but we don't see Him. But in the Scriptures, in a much better way, God reveals Himself by His actions, by His words. And we need to go to His Word. The disciples had the privilege of being with Him and seeing Him. But as Jesus said to His disciples, "Blessed are they that believe and have not seen." Have not seen. If the visible was so important, then perhaps God would give all of us that privilege. But He doesn't. He doesn't. But that doesn't mean that we are blessed any less. No, people of God, if we want to see the Lord, we want to understand God, and understand Him through His Word. We do that with people, don't we? We read their books and we think we come to know them when we read their works. Well, here's the work of God. It's His Word. It's His self-revelation. And that's where we need to go. And we ought to be careful not to have children, or other people for that matter, rely on images, rely on pictures, rely on things that represent God to learn. No, they need to be taken to God's Word. And if God did not see it fit to do so in the Old Testament, then certainly we shouldn't try to do that in the churches that are around us. But secondly and lastly, we certainly shouldn't worship using them. They don't enhance worship at all. We should worship from our hearts. And for us to use such forms to worship God, as though it's going to help us, it's going to increase our worship of God, is a falsehood, an absolute falsehood. And so God makes it very clear that He doesn't want that. Not only is he not to be represented, he's certainly not to be worshipped by him. And by the way, it happened right there on Mount Sinai. I mean, here's Moses getting the law. And what are the people doing down at the base? Making an idol. A golden calf. Well, I mean, what were they doing? I mean, did they really think that God was a golden calf? No. But they were using that as a means to worshiping God. And what wisdom did the golden calf give to the people? Because their worship is described as getting up and acting like fools before the nations around them. Even they thought they were crazy. And God was most offended. Unless you think that I'm over-exaggerating, many people lost their lives that day because God warned them. And they didn't submit, they didn't humble themselves before him. And so many died because of that. And Moses has to warn them to take it seriously. In fact, he gives them his own example. There they were, ready to cross over into the land over the Jordan to the promised land, and he says, "Look, I'm not coming. God has said I can't cross over the Jordan." Well, what did he do? He insulted God. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. I mean, that's how zealous God is of his person. And when Moses, as a leader, before all the people, acted that way, God took it very seriously. And so God says, "You're not going into the promised land." Not that he wasn't a child of God, not that he didn't go to heaven, no, but as an example to the rest. And Moses brings that example up. He says, "Take my example, learn from me. You don't treat that God that way." And so I'm not going. I can't go into the promised land. But you're going. So learn. Learn from my example. We'll always treat God with the utmost respect. And then he puts it in these terms. When they don't do that, what are they going to do? "For the Lord your God," in verse 24, "is a consuming fire and a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly." Act corruptly? Moses, what are you talking about? What do you think we're going to do? "And make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger." How much is that raised when not only do we make an image, but we worship? And let's give it the best light. We worship by using the image. We don't worship the image, but we use the image. And God says that he forbids that. It falsifies God's image. It presents a false god, and it corrupts worship. It corrupts worship. However much we think it helps and it enhances worship and enlivens the senses of people, before God, it corrupts worship. He doesn't accept it. It's not pleasing in his sight. How in the world can it be pleasing when we are disobeying his clear word? No, our God needs to be reverenced by us. Nothing in this creation can capture who he is. all the reading of the scriptures, all the studying of the scriptures, we will never come to comprehending God because he is so great and he's so wonderful. And we come to know him day by day, little by little. We can't speed that process up. No, we walk with him. We see him working in our lives and working in the lives of others. We see him in the world as he carries out his good purposes. That's where we meet him. That's why we fall down before him. And we honor him. And we glorify him. And we serve as examples to the rest of the world. To put aside their idols, to put aside their false religions, and come with us and worship before our glorious God. Now, people of God, God's manner in which he wants to be worshipped is the best. Is the best. We believe, according to the scriptures, that we worship God only in ways that he has prescribed in his word. That's the whole point of the regulative principle. We don't invent ways to worship God, however pleasing they may be to people. No, we worship God. I mean, is there any higher activity that we can engage in than worshiping God? I mean, wasn't there given chapter after chapter after chapter in the book in the books of Moses? What was the biggest subject that is covered by the by Moses? It's worship. It's worship, all the way from the temple itself in terms of being constructed to all the activities that they engage in. Not one activity is given that God doesn't describe in his word and that the people were to follow. There was no innovation. The people didn't have meetings. They didn't decide, you know, this way would be better. It's more pleasing to the people. There was none of that. God prescribed every aspect of worship. But now it seems worship is like fashion. However we please is okay. And I'm saying, Where do we find that in the scriptures? It's totally alien to the scriptures. Now we need to humble ourselves before God. He is an awesome God. He's a consuming fire. Yes, he's loving and he's holy and he's just. But let us not play fast and loose with God. Too many people have and suffered. Let us learn from them that we worship him through his word, by his spirit, in obedience, and we marvel at him, and we look forward to knowing him more and more. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the invisible God for a reason, so that we may not capture you by images, by our imaginations. But rather, Father, we would be patient as you reveal yourself to us more and more through your word, through our walking with you. That is the way that we hear about people in the scriptures. Adam and Eve walked with you in the cool of the day. Enoch walked with God. And so, Father, we pray that our walk with you may draw us closer and closer to you, and that our knowledge of you may increase more and more. Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless your people, and may we go forth into this week knowing that you go with us and that we always will humble ourselves before you and give you all the praise and all the glory. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnals number 593.